So the reason I'm here, because Apostle's away, and she's actually trying to mature us. So the goal, one of her goals here, obviously she's an apostle, so she's an equipper. She's trying to equip the body to do the work of the ministry, right? That's the goal. She can't do it, so she's trying to train us up so that we can go do the work of the ministry, right? That's one of her assignments. Our assignment is to throw away the diapers and the ninny and get out here and do the work, right? We got to grow up, right? We got to mature, man. We got to be looking like Christ. That's the whole goal. So for me, I just want to talk a little bit first before I get into some soil and some seed. You hit it what I was talking about. I want to talk about, first off, just things like belief systems and lies that we believe. So I just had something happen this week. So I had a belief system that I believed for a lot of years. I guess when you believe something, if it's never challenged, right, you don't know it's wrong, right? You just continue believing it, right? Whether your parents told you, whether a preacher told you from the past, or a friend, or Sunday school, or college, they say things to you, and for me, it's always been because they're authority. You know what I mean? They're pretty much always right. I don't believe that anymore, but I used to. And so you just kind of take that belief system or those words that they say, and you just kind of own it, right? You're not researching, you're not checking it out with the scriptures. You just kind of believe it and live according to that. And sometimes they're wrong. And so I'm going to say as a disclaimer that anybody I've sat under who has taught me some things that are a little off, it wasn't on purpose. It wasn't intentional. That's all the best they could do. But as you come into more truth, that stuff kind of like goes away. So I had something go away that I didn't even realize went away. I'll get into that. So I'll just give you a little bit of history real quick. So when I got saved, in my mother's kitchen floor on a Sunday at 6:30 in the morning, right? There was no preacher around. We were going to a church, and they had been around. They were concerned about me because I wore rock and roll T-shirts and stuff like that. So they would come around, and I always said the prayer, you know, you're going to hell, you're going to heaven. And I always confessed Christ, but nothing really changed in my life, right? And because it was that fear-based thing, it's really not how Jesus did it at all. But what I want to say about that church is, so there were some things I learned from that church that I've carried on. So some things we learned that are good and some things are not good. So the preacher was a scholar. He was a Greek scholar. So all the word was always good on Saturday, on Sunday mornings. He studied out the Greek and the Hebrew, what got Michelle and I really interested. And then there was an elder who taught Bible study and his wife. And so we used to do chapters of the Bible word by word by word, just like she does now. That's what we learned it. So that's good things. I'm just saying we take some good things where we go. We pick up good things. We pick up bad things. We keep the good things. We got to drop off the bad things. You know, that's what I'm trying to say. I'm going somewhere if you can follow me. So the next place we went, I can't really remember anything the preachers preached on. That was Fettlesburg. However, there was a lady there who had a big impact in my life, and she was a intercessor. And that's when I got filled with the Holy Ghost. Hey, that's when I started speaking in tongues. It was huge, memorable. That's when I just started, because I see things sometimes, I was just getting little blips and pictures and things. However, her theology, her thing was the demonic is all around, right? It's all about the demonic, right? With spiritual warfare, that's all we do every day. That's all we fight, spiritual warfare. It's the demonic. You know, so we had like all night prayer sessions. We'd be in there all night. I mean, I remember this one time we were in there and we heard this little girl's voice in the back. We all turned around and looked. It wasn't nobody standing there, right? But that's what we were looking for, right, in God's house. And it was there, noises and bumps. Obviously, that stuff's for real. I'm not going to say it's not. I've saw a demon before in the flesh. My son, Christopher, saw a demon before. And when he described it to me, I saw it. So I say all that to say that, so that's how I live my life, right? So I'm riding down the road. I got a flat tire. The devil's after me. The devil did it, right? Transmission goes up. It's the devil, right? I'm so important that he's coming to tear my dishwasher up and my stove. Anyway, that's how we live. That's how I believe, right? I'm extreme like that. So I'm reading all these books at the house. bondage breaker, pigs in the parlor. I'm reading all this stuff. Nobody said, what about Christ? What about the finished work? Nobody talked about that. This is all we're looking at. So that's what I'm focused at. So that's all I see. Right? That's all I see. And so that's a key point. Remember that when I get a little further up. Anyway, so then we came here, and then John left, and then it was Mike and Melissa preaching and teaching, and then came we have a good father. That was the next thing that came for me, and that was huge because I really didn't know he was good. I always thought God was judgmental and everything like that. So now finally getting to where I wanted to go. Sorry about that, y'all. It just takes me a while. I kind of ram a little bit. So, last week, Devan started acting up a little bit. She's getting ready to go away. So, she told me, I wrote it, and I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah, I see it. So it was missing a little bit when you give it a little bit, hit the accelerator. Not bad, just missing a little bit. I'm like, okay. Feels like a fuel filter to me on my old van. I used to replace them once a year, so I wasn't really concerned. I should have been, but I wasn't. Sunday afternoon, I go out there and piddle around, get the YouTube out, trying to find. I couldn't even find what the thing was. And the guy who did it said he'd recommend taking it to a mechanic. Anyway, make a long story short, I had bought some STB gas treatment. I thought, well, that'll clean it up. She's going away. We'll deal with it afterwards. Come to church Wednesday night. I'm going over to Dover Bridge. She shook all the way here. She was missing all the way here. Anyway, there was some conversation in the van. We get here. I told her, I said, honey, I got STP gas treatment. I'm going to put fresh gas in. I'm going to be set. Right? I'm going to be set. I knew not, but that's why I'm trying to look positive, right? So I left, get gas. We drove home. Worse. It wasn't any better. It was even worse. So we get home. She's leaving the next day. Now, remember, she's leaving Thursday to go to D.C., I said, whatever, I'm just going to get you a rental car. Nope, we ain't spending the money. I'm just not going to go. I said, yeah, you're going. I'm not going to go. Anyway, we won't get into all that. Then it was, she's going to take my car. She's taking the Civic to D.C. No, don't take my car. You'll kill it. So, I mean, that my car looks like junk to you all, but I know everything about it. I know what it leaks, and I know the noises, and it's got all kind of lights that come on. I ride on. You know what I mean? But nobody else, that's mine. It's worthless to everybody else, but it's worth something to me. Anyway, so that was the plan. So so I got a mechanic here in Easton that I deal with, and he's got his own garage. He's really good, really reasonable. The problem is it's just him. So if I call him, he's going to say, drop it off tomorrow. Drop it off tonight. I'll look at it tomorrow, and then I'll get to it, right? Well, I had to have it done right then. So I took it to Pahanka, right? And that's where I bought the van. They do my oil changes anyway. So 3.5 hours later, $537 later, I'm on the road, right? So that being said, when I'm sitting there for 3.5 hours, I got a lot of time. I look at my phone. I mean, I'm like, sports. I mean, I looked at Facebook. I'm like, weather. I'm like, I'm done. I'm tired of looking at the phone. There's nothing else on here. So I'm just sitting there vegging out, right? I walk looking at cars, talk to salespeople, trying to pass the time, right? I'm 3.5 hours, right? So I'm sitting there outside because I didn't want to wear the mask. You don't have to wear the mask inside, but when I went, I wore the mask. But I'm sitting outside and I get this thought, this random thought comes through. And I don't even know what I was thinking about. Because my mind, I don't know, y'all, my mind is like never stops. You know what I mean? It always goes. So I had this random thought that said, "You think it was the enemy that messed the van up?" Right out of the blue, I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" Just like I said it outside, I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" Like, what the? What, so then I just blew it off, right? So probably 20 minutes later, another thought came. This ain't my spirit, man. Right, and this ain't the Holy Spirit, right? You know how we have thoughts come in sometimes. Next thought came in and said, well, it happened one time before. And I'm like, And it did one time before. The last time I had to take it to get service at Pahanka, she was getting ready to go somewhere, and I had to have work done, and it was the same thing as last time. It was an alternator this time, that time. And I said, please, I don't think so. It has nothing to do with that. So then I was thinking about where I used to be and where I came from. And I was reminiscing with the Lord about it. And then he showed me when this all changed, so that the demon behind every corner is not there anymore, right? That's not. But I didn't decide I'm not going to believe this lie anymore. So that the Satan and all that stuff, that's all for real. All right, I'm not going to say it ain't for real. It's there, right? But it's where I choose to focus now. And it's all because the teaching from here, when she does the Easter service, right? The Easter service, Christ is victor, right? That completely wrecked me. I know y'all have heard it. This is what you pay for. This nugget is really what it's all about. When I preach on something, don't worry about that. But this is what it is right here, right? This is what changed me, and this is what he reminded me of. So I'm going to share it again with you. Probably won't do as good a job as she did. I know I won't. But so the scripture is Colossians 2. Colossians 2. And it is, now remember, when she taught that this is Easter, the Easter service, or Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. And typically in the past for me, when preachers do the resurrection, it's I don't know, it's kind of doomy and gloomy, and then there's like hope at the end, you know. But when she does it, it's all hope, victory, and Christ and everything. So let me read. I'm going to read this passage to you. It's Colossians 2, and it's verse 15. But I'm like her. We got to go back. We got to go back a little ways to read before, so we know where we're coming from, right? We've learned that, right? One thing she does all the time, and she gets me every week. Okay, so we're going to read 1 Corinthians 10, starting in verse 9. And as soon as I write it down, she's like, no, let's start at 5. You know what I mean? That's what she does, so that's what I'm going to do. You got to go back and read. You need to read more of what that context. I just can't do that scripture because it's going to take it out of context. So, starting with verse 8, Colossians 2. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For to him all the fullness of the deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. And in him you were also circumcised, with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you were dead in all your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh. He made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us and which was hostile to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. There it is, right there. That's the verse, right there. Let me read that again to you. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. So that was the life changer for me. You know, sometimes we believe things. And some, I know apostles always talk about like you believe a lie, but when you have a scripture that hits you right in the face and it hits that lie, man, right? You might get offended. You get a little, is she talking to me? She don't know. She's just bringing the word. But that scripture right there completely changed me when I heard it. But I didn't know it had dislodged this old belief. That's what I'm saying. I just figured that out just Thursday. So let me just a little bit of background on this, right? So disarmed is Strong's 554, right? It means spoiled. It means to divest of power and authority. So divest means to deprive someone of power, rights, or possessions. That's what that says. That's what it means, right? Rulers, the powers of the other world, we know that. Authorities are demons. So he has divested, taken away all power and authority of all the rulers of the other world and all the demonic. He has taken away all power and authority. Rights, he's took away everything. So then the next part, that's huge. So what am I fighting at then? If they're already defeated, right? So that's what happened to me Thursday was, that little arrow, whatever it is, that thing dropped in my mind, right? And was trying to see if I'm going to bite on it. But they're already done. Right, I'm not going to disrespect them, but I ain't got time for it. That's what it boils down to. I don't have time for that because I'm looking at Christ, and that stuff just falls away. It just fall, that, so when, because I didn't give ear to it or meditate on it, nothing took root. You know what I mean? Because there's no power. What are they going to do? There's no power. They don't have anything unless we give it to them. Anyway, that's huge for me. So the next one here is the next part of this. It says, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. So public display is Strong's 1165, and that means putting on a show. Putting into a painful shame the principalities and powers, which previously held believers captive. And that word, it only occurs once in the Bible. So, what does that mean? Y'all remember, y'all know she taught this, right? So let me go ahead and give it to you real quick. This is all good, man. I'm telling you, this is why you came today for this. This is why you came today for this right here. I'm regurgitating something. So anyway, back in the Bible days, right, when nation war against nation, right, everybody's trying to conquer, everybody wants the women and the children and the spoils. So when nation come against nation, when that nation beat their nation, right, first thing they did was get the king, right? First thing you got to do is capture the king. You get the king, you take his robe off, and you sew it on your king's robe, which now becomes a train that shows all his power. So you can look at the king's train on, and these are all the nations that he's conquered. The long train, the hem of his train, right? That's, and the king, they drug naked through the streets of his city, public shame, humiliation. Before they killed him, they wanted all the people to see, here's your king. Now I'm the king. He's publicly shamed. So this is what Jesus did to Satan and the enemy. This is the enemy here. So you're publicly shamed. You're disempowered. You got no authority. You got nothing at all. At all. So for me, that was a great day Thursday because I really clicked that I don't have that belief anymore. Right? I mean, that was a lie that I believed. That, let me see if I want to say it a lie. I put too much credibility into the demonic is what it was. So, but back when I was at that other place, nobody's talking about Christ. Nobody's saying, what about Jesus? We're all looking this way. So what does the apostle say? Wherever you put your, it, that's where your energy flows, right? So that's where it flows. So I'm not even thinking about that. So, I knew somebody, probably within the last year, they had an orb in their house. An orb, you know, you see the stuff, the paranormal on TV, that stuff's for real. Some of it's made up, but that stuff's for real, right? I ain't worried about it. I ain't got time for it, but I can tell you it ain't coming to my house. I mean, I'm just not having it. I don't have time for it. And, you know, I was told, should we go over there and cast it out? I mean, you know, I just don't have time. I just can't. I didn't really know how to handle the situation. You know what I mean? But there was an orb flying around in this guy's house. I seen it on his phone. They're right here at local on the Eastern Shore. There was an orb. There was an orb flying around. So I don't know where it came from or what happened to it. The orb's not around anymore. But, I mean, like something like that, I don't know how you deal with something like that. It ain't coming to my house. I just, you know what I mean? It's just not. I mean, Jessica used to play this game. What was that game you used to play? Pokemon? She plays Pokemon. You know how to go all over the place and pick up the stuff? When she stayed with us, she was always like, how come I can't get the Pokemon to come to this house? And the Pokemon's come to the house. We're not praying against that stuff. I'm just saying, I don't know what it is. I'm just saying, it was funny when Jessica said that. You had to go to the road to get it, not coming on the property. I don't know what that is. It's crazy. Just like out here one day, there was people parked, and I walked up and said, is everything all right? They're like, yeah, we're getting Pokemon. I said, you getting Pokemon? He said, yeah, right here at the sign, we're getting Pokemon. But it wasn't coming to my house. I just didn't have, I mean, you know, anyway. Anyway, so those lies we believe, right? So when the truth comes, that's the only way it's going to get dislodged. And it was dislodged, and I didn't even know it until he tried to come around again. And, I mean, I just don't have time for that stuff. I mean, if you think about stuff, whether she was going to wear it this weekend or not, the van was going to mess up, right? If the stove's going to go up, it don't matter. When it's just going to go up, I mean, has nothing to do with the demonic. I don't believe it. Now, maybe you do, and I'm not trying to offend anybody, but I'm just not there anymore, you know. I'm just not there anymore. It was never any peace anyway. So, anyway, amen. That's when she's talking about breaking the lie. There's one right there, you know what I mean? So, and I didn't even know it was gone until, you know, he tried to drop that thing in. I mean, come on. What? No, man. No. So, anyway. Okay, so now let's get to the message. Well, should we go ahead and close out then? okay, so my... My scripture for today is going to be Matthew 13, 1 to 23. Matthew 13, 1 to 23. It's long, but I'm going to read it all. When Miss Wydella preached last time, I didn't get it taped. It was really good. It was all kingdom. That was really good. So I knew when I was coming up here, I was doing something in kingdom. So I picked a parable. Yvonne, and you just confirmed it this morning when you talked about the seed and the soil. So this is the parable of the sower. So for me, parables are, I think I've always thought about them as like nursery rhymes. And I just kind of read through them. I've never really studied one out. I've never really did any kind of in-depth thing. I've never really, usually if I'm reading a chapter and there might be three or four parables in there. So I'm going to tell you, I haven't really grasped anything at all. But that's what Jesus said. He taught in parables. So they actually have, they mean something. And I think even as short as some of them are, I think if you want to dig, you can dig. He'll let you dig as deep as you want to go. So here's the, so I'm going to go ahead and read. So Matthew 13, starting in verse 1. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. And great multitudes gathered to him so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole multitude was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some of the seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. And others fell upon rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprung up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And then others fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And then he went on to say, And as the disciples came and said to him, Why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him shall be given more, and he shall have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, You will keep hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of the people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear, and they have their eyes closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return. I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom the seed was sown beside the road. And the one on whom the seed was sown on rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the world, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom the seed has sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of the riches choke out the word until it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom the seed was sown on good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Amen. So when I looked at this parable, I was getting ready to start looking up words, you know what I mean, in the Greek, and I just didn't because I think there was enough there to talk about. But like when it says beside the road, that just means wayside or path. But so the first thing that's important here is who's saying it, right? Jesus is saying it. That's the first. When I look at stuff like this, the first thing I'm figuring out, who is it? Who's he talking to? Where and why, right? So Jesus isn't talking to it. He's speaking. It's his words. It's not Paul or Peter. Obviously, people want to hear what he's got to say because it's a large crowd that gathered. And really must have been, my deduction is it must have been really good what he was saying because they didn't even sit down. They stood up. They didn't even sit down at the beach. They stood up while he was sitting in the boat. And I would say because his disciples were around, I think it would have to be believers and non-believers. And then I also put in, I think the crowd's hungry for the words. That was the first thing I did when I looked at this thing. And then, I always thought that this was just about salvation. I don't know if anybody preached it or if it was just something I thought was about salvation, but you know, what Jesus says in verse 18, he says, if anyone hears the word of the kingdom, that's what he says. So, is salvation part of the kingdom? I would say, yeah, to that. So anyway, I want to try to write up here on this board. So I just want to break this down a little bit. Try not to keep you too long. I know people have stuff to do today. Is that good there? Is that good there? Does she usually hold the mic and talk while she's doing the board? Lord Jesus. Woo. So the first thing we have, right, is we have a sower. This is going to be basic, y'all. We got a sower, right? And who's the sower? Is it just apostle? It's us, right? Anything we're throwing out, any kind of seed we're giving, whether we're up here or not, right, we're sowing something, right? And that's whether it's good seed or bad seed, we're sowing something, right? So we really should check that. What are we really sowing? This has been a hard week for me with this teaching here. So because you know when you really meditate on it a little bit, this has made me look in the mirror and there's some things I don't like about what I've seen. So anyway, but that's been good. That's how we grow and change, right? Right. That's how we grow. So then we got seeds. Where we got seeds here, right? So you know, back in the Bible days. When they threw seed, they usually had like a satchel they put on there, and they threw seed out like this, right? That's how they did it. They didn't have the combines and stuff like that. They threw a whole lot of seed because a lot of it didn't come up. So the more they threw out, the more that would grow, right? So then we have soil, right? We've got soil. Isn't that what you said, Bond, earlier? Seed and soil? So we've got soil. And which actually is really what? The soul is actually our heart. That's what the soul represents, the heart. That's what it is. So he's given us, Jesus has given us four different heart. That's what he's given us. Four different hearts. So the seeds are soil. I mean, the seeds coming to the soil is really our heart. Really, and how we handling some things, or not handling some things. So the first one says, let me get back to it. Right beside the road. So this one here, beside the road. So think about, here's what I was thinking about when I was looking at this. So it was a good visual for me. So if you're in Hurlock and you're going to, when I go to work every day, there's a little, maybe an acre field right there by Prospect Heights, right across from the pickle plant, B&G. And it's a trail. People walk this trail from Prospect Heights to get to town, right? And it's a pathway in the middle of this farmer's acre of crop. It's a pathway, right? So he does soybeans or watermelon. It doesn't matter what it is. Every time I walk by, every time I ride by, I see this path, this beaten path where people walk, right? It's dry, it's hard, it's dusty, and there's stuff growing all around it, but there's nothing growing there. Nothing growing there. So it says the birds ate up the seeds, right? Well, think about a path. Everybody walks on it. It's hard. You really don't have a chance for life. I mean, the seeds can't grow. It's all hard and compact. So even though he plows that up, they walk that same path, and that path just stays there. You know, it's so that's the first heart right there. And it says the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in the heart, which is beside the road. So I was thinking about that. If the guy's throwing the satchel out, I mean, there's a pathway right by where your garden is. Everybody walks on it. So, I mean, is everybody walking on your heart or are you walking on your own heart? Is the first thing I would say. There's the ground so hard that, I mean, the seed's not taking root. So, and the birds are just coming and eating it. So that's pretty rough right there. I mean, that's pretty rough right there. So the next one is rocky places, right? Rocky places. So rocky places. Let's see what it says. And the one seed was sown on rocky places, this is the man who hears the word, immediately receives it with joy, has no root, only temporary. When affliction or persecution arise, because of the word, he immediately falls away. So rocky, on a rocky place, you can kind of picture that. I was going to get some visuals, rocky place, but I didn't. So, you know, when you got rocky places, there's always a little bit of soil there, right? There's a little bit of dirt. There's some things that can grow. They're not going to grow big. I know when I went out to Colorado fishing, you know, it's the Rocky Mountains, right? So we would be fishing, and it would be like a cliff, like huge. And there would be these trees growing that were like looked like a foot or two on the side of this mountain. And, you know, that's what I thought of when I was looking at this time. That's as far as they can grow because they can't root down. They can't get a firm foundation. So that means they easily fall away or turn off or get blown over. So, but a rocky place, I mean, you know, you could probably clean that up if you wanted to, I would say. If you got a rocky place, I know the first time I did a garden in my house, I think the driveway must have gone all the way to the back because when I dug it up, it was rocks. So guess what? I just picked up rocks. I just dug it up. I dug up the rocks. So that's the second one. So the third one is thorns. So I don't know if any of y'all fool with thorns. Thorns are nasty, right? They're viney, man. They'll take over everything if you let them. I got them in my front yard. I go dig them out a couple times a year. I must not get the root because they come back, and what they do is they wrap around your plants. So when you pull them, they rip the plant up, right? And then also what they do is they're taking the nutrients and the minerals out of the ground that's not getting to your plant or your seed. The thorns are taking it, so they'll overrun everything. So that's pretty bad. So let me read what he says about that. And the one on whom the seed was thrown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So it becomes unfruitful, choked out. Because I'm going to tell you, the last time I messed around in that front flower bed, I got poison ivy. But that's another story. First time in my life. Anyway, I'm just mad with the thorns because I got leather gloves and they're still going through my legs. And then they're ripping my legs up and stuff. But when I snatched them, man, I'm just like ripping branches off these Hernandinas and stuff. And I'm just like, yeah, you actually have to be real careful if you really want to not tear everything up. So And then the last one, obviously this is the one, good soil, right? And this is this what we all have? We all got good soil. Do we all got good soil? That's what I said too. And then Holy Spirit said, are you producing 30, 60, or 100 fold? And I said, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. So, and the one on whom the seed was sown on good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He didn't say 2-fold. He didn't say 5-fold. He didn't say 10-fold. He said 100. 100 was the first thing he said. Then it was 60. Then it was 30. So I just want to talk a little bit about soil. The last couple of years I haven't had a garden because some of my grandkids, okay? Not the three that are here, but there's other ones. I love them right to death, but they're going to pull my cucumbers up and my tomatoes and all that. So anyway, for me, when I first started to try to do a garden in at the house, the ground, like I said, it was rocky. It was nasty, right? It was clay. And anyway, I put stuff down. I put lime down, picked up the rocks until finally I got some good soil. And then I dug that same spot every year. And however, just because my soil is good, right, when I put my plants out, and I don't do any of the seed thing, but just pretend it is the seed, what I'm talking about. When I put my maters in, and my cucumbers, and when I put my green peppers and all that in, when I put them in, right, there ain't no weeds nowhere. I got no weeds on there, right? There's no weeds. And I usually put, like, I used to put boards so you could walk on the boards between, because I don't want to sink the ground down. Anyway, every day, I can't say every day, at least 5 to 6 days of the week, I'm out there messing with my garden. I'm tending it. It's kind of like a peaceful place. I'm picking weeds. You know what I mean? I'm propping stuff up. I'm putting cages down on it. And so I'm tending to it. Also, when my tomatoes come up, I know that some of the branches and the leaves look different, and they never produce fruit. So I prune them because I want all that coming to my tomatoes. I want them to be big, right? So I'm pruning it. But I'm constantly tending to it, and always. And always, when I come back from vacation, it's always a mess. What 1 week does. Actually, I've had Jess got there with me picking weeds before. But what I'm saying is, so the good soil is, so just because you got good soil, I mean, you really need to tend to your soil. You really need to tend to your soil. You need to pull the weeds out because the weeds are just like the thorns. The weeds are going to try to get all the water and the nutrients so that your plant or your heart's not getting it. And I don't know. For me, for me, it's a lot of distractions. And I'll just tell you a little something about me. So, like I said, this was a tough week for me. The conviction and stuff that I got, because, you know, immediately I want to say, yeah, man, I got good soil, right? But there's nothing I'm producing that's 100-fold, 60-fold, or 30-fold. Not if I'm honest. I'm not going to speak for you all. Not if I'm honest. And so what I do Wednesdays and Sundays, and so let me say this as a disclaimer. There's no condemnation in Christ. No condemnation in Christ, right? So if you hear something here that I'm not trying to offend anybody, but I'm just trying to be real, right? We're all supposed to be growing up. We're all getting older. We ain't going to be here forever. And there's a whole lot of work to do out here that ain't getting done. So for me, because of the way my mind works, Wednesdays and Sundays, I take notes. Because if I don't take notes, then I'll be thinking about what I'm going to eat, who's pitching tonight, that's where my mind goes. Who's starting or whatever? I got to do work tomorrow. Am I cutting grass today? What are we going to eat? Does she want to go out to eat? My mind will be everywhere. So I take notes just to engage it, right? And then there's this thing. I'm sitting here on Wednesday night. I'm still looking at trying to catch a Yankee score while she's teaching. Is it really that important? Seriously. Are you really trying to improve your soil? You know what I mean? Am I getting some seed? I know I lost some seed looking at a score. Real quick. Trying to do it nonchalant so nobody sees. I mean, please. So, I'm not always sold out, I guess. You know what I mean? But, or I'm easily distracted. I'm definitely not this one. I can tell you I'm not that one. I used to be that one, but I'm not that one anymore. And I don't know about Rocky Place. Maybe I still got some rocks and stuff. But anyway, I'm just trying to look at myself. I mean, because hear what it says, right? It says, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. So, you know, we're sons of God, right? And the kingdom is within us, right? Because Christ is in us. So everywhere we go, the kingdom goes, right? And it's not about out here preaching, trying to get people saved. I mean, we should be wanting to get people saved, but it's about how you live and what comes out of you, part of the kingdom. And people should see that. And they should know that there's something different about you. And if it's not, then, you know, I would say we probably need to take a look in the mirror. I've been looking in the mirror all week, man, and haven't really liked what I've been seeing myself. So it's the same with that teaching she did on the nepios and in your spiritual maturity. You know what I mean? Man, I want to say, yeah, I'm right up here. But, you know, when you really think about it, I don't think I'm running around in a diaper, but I'm definitely probably in my later teenage years, if I had to guess. I'm just trying to be honest, because if you're not honest, you're never going to know where you're at. And if you never know where you're at, then you never know where you're going to go. You got to know where you're at. So, I mean, there's a whole much more we could dig out of this thing here. But, I mean, you know, well, she's bringing it on Sunday and Wednesdays, right? I mean, you all know that. I mean, there's plenty of seed out here. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm probably grasping just a little bit. So, and here's the worst part. I don't even want to say it, but I'm going to say it. I don't even look at my notes through the week. How's that? That's how I know I'm not producing nothing, because I take them Wednesday and Sunday to stay engaged with her. And Cato. I take them Wednesday and Sunday to stay engaged with her. Not with her. I want to be engaged. And if I'm not taking notes, then I'm on my phone or I'm everywhere. That's just me. Now, some people can just sit there, but I can't. So now some people, sometimes they talk so much you can't really get any notes down. You know what I mean? So you can't. But that's me. My mind just goes, and I'm always trying to think about the next thing. So today I'm not really thinking about what I'm doing this afternoon, because I was so focused on this and just nervous and everything. But really, you know, my walk in Christ, I mean, I think wherever we are here, I think we can all get there if we want, if you really want to. You know, if you really want to get, if you want some good soil, you can, excuse me, if you want good soil, you can get good soil, right? Because I got good soil at my house, but you got to work in it. You got to work with it. You got to work in it. You got to clean it out. You got to take the rocks out. You got to pull up the weeds and the thorns, you know. And I can tell you it's much easier to pull the stuff up before you have stuff planted in there than it is if you wait till afterwards. So for me, there's hope. I don't want to stay on the negative side of this thing. But, you know, I look in the mirror and just say, I'm supposed to be doing out here doing the work of the ministry, right? And that, however that looks, I mean, we can say it's churchy or religious. I'm not really even thinking about it like that. I'm thinking about, like, loving my neighbor, coming alongside someone, having an encouraging word, you know, that kind of thing. That's what I think about when I'm thinking about kingdom, advancing the kingdom. So I guess my question for you guys, my challenge is, I mean, where are you all at? Don't answer. You know what I mean? I already know where I'm at. I can't take no more bad news. No, but in seriousness, it was very challenging. You know, because the Holy Spirit asked me, he said, well, where do you think you're at? I said, man, I got good soul. And he said, show me the 160 or 30 fold. That's what he told me. And I said, wow. You know, and then I think about it. And it's been really been good. It's been good to have this when I'm alone. You know what I mean? So at home alone to really, because I've been sitting outside doing all this work, because I had watched the kids on Friday. So I'm outside, they're out there playing, and I'm just steady digging into this, trying to figure out where I'm at, talking to myself a lot like I always do, and what do I need to do. And, I mean, I mean, it's pretty basic, isn't it? It really is. It's all about our heart, changing the heart. I don't think anybody's heart's too far gone. I guess it all boils down to what do we want? Do we really want to be? Do we really want to go out here and change the world? That's what He's called us to do. Do we really want to go out here and change it, or are we complacent and we're comfortable where we're at? You know what I mean? Am I good where I'm at? Is this good enough? You know? Because if you're not doing anything and you're expecting different results, you're not going to get them. That's me. I'm not getting the results because I'm not putting any time in. So you got to put the time in with Him, you know? And anyway, everybody's got to make the choice, whatever you want to do. If you want to mature, or do you want to be 50 years old running around in a diaper, I guess. You know what I mean? She's trying to mature us up here. Because she sure can't go out and do the work of the ministry. Because wherever we go, we're all over the place. So wherever we're at, the kingdom should be advancing there, right? So when I walk in Vista, when I go in there tomorrow morning, when I step on the plant, right, get the Son of God's here. I'm here and I got the kingdom with me, right? Jesus is with me, Father's with me, Holy Spirit's with me, and I'm here. So the question is, can I keep that focus all day, or am I carried off by the stuff at work, you know? Not saying I got to be preachy Christian all day long, but, I mean, I need to be ever mindful of Him, because I miss opportunities every day where I could give a word of encouragement or something like that. It doesn't have to be, thus saith the Lord, but you can just come alongside somebody and give them a word of hope or something. Because I'm not getting a word of hope out there from anybody at my work. You know what I mean? Nobody's coming alongside and saying, man, you did good today. You're having a bad day. And I mean, there's nobody doing that anywhere. So anyway, I think that's pretty much it. I'm pretty much done. I'm not done with this, though, because I got to get that 100-fold somehow. That 100, that 60, 30-fold. So, you know, but it all depends on me, right? But you know what's funny though? You read that, he doesn't say twofold or fivefold, right? 60, 160, 30. He doesn't say 15-fold. He doesn't say 20-fold. It's 160, 30, 100-fold. And since, I mean, He's given us everything we need too, right? So the only problem is me right here. That's the problem is me. So anyway. Let's pray. Father, I just thank You for this day, Lord. And Father, I thank You for Your word. And Father, I thank You that You've forgiven me, Father, for the way I look at parables, Lord, as a nursery rhyme, Lord, when there's so much meat in there for us, Lord, if I would just look, Lord. And that's how Jesus taught. And I kind of put it off like it wasn't a big deal, but that's how He taught the people, Father. So Father, I thank You for all the words in this book. Father, I thank You for Holy Spirit that dwells in us, that teaches us, that convicts us, that helps us grow, that asks us, that challenges us. And Father, most of all, I thank You for Christ and all that He did, Lord. Woo, Father, the finished work of the cross. Christ is victor. Wow, we have everything we need. You've given us everything, not one thing. We don't have to jump through any hoops. We don't have to do this or that. We just have to be, Father. And we have a hard time with that. Just being with You. Just being in Your presence. Just being who we were created to be. Father, we just want to be somebody else. But we are all uniquely and wonderfully made. There's none made like me or anybody else in here. We're all uniquely and wonderfully made. We're all a piece of the puzzle to advance the kingdom. And we're all needed, Father. So, Father, I thank You for this week together with me and You, and the learning that I got, and the coming up here, Father, You know it's not my thing. However, I always get so much out of it. Father, I probably should live a life where I think I'm preaching every week, and then I would put the time in with You that I need to put in. Father, we thank You and we praise You and bless You in Jesus' name. Amen.